Like all of you, I was shocked and saddened to witness the events at our Capitol building this past Wednesday. I've always really loved and enjoyed history, and I've always had a special place in my heart for American history. I recognize that our politicians are far from perfect, and like us, they sin and fall short of the glory of God. But the ideals of America, the ideals of our country, are something that I've always found very inspiring. I've appreciated learning and reading about our Constitution. I appreciate the Declaration of Independence, and even to this day, my first grade son saying the Pledge of Allegiance every morning before he starts school. I remember when I was in eighth grade and I traveled to Washington, D.C., and one of the things I did there with my classmates was to take a tour of the Capitol building, and I remember being in that building, that room that we all saw on TV this past week, and I had a sense of awe and reverence, a sense of awe and reverence for the ideals of the Founding Fathers, for the ideals of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, words like, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, those being life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so, like you, I was saddened to see acts of violence and vandalism and anger and hatred take place in the Capitol building. And I knew that this Sunday, this weekend, I was called to say some words about the events. But I am grateful, as always, that today I lean not on my own words, not on my own understanding, but the Word of God. And in the Word of God, we hear today about John the Baptist, we find hope and meaning and purpose because of what he says and teaches us. John the Baptist, you may know, was not Jesus himself, but was called by God to help people prepare for Jesus. He was given the gift of prophecy to know and understand that the Messiah, the Savior of the whole world, was coming. And so it was his job to prepare and help people be ready for that. If you've ever been to a concert before, you know if there is a musician who's very popular, more often than not, they won't be the only act, but they will have an opening act, another musician, another band that will help people get ready and prepare for the main act. And the same is with John the Baptist. John the Baptist is sort of the opening act for Jesus. And John the Baptist's words are clear, important, and a reminder this week of what we are called to do. John the Baptist's overwhelming message is a baptism of repentance. Repentance is something that he is calling the hearers of these words to do. Repentance is something that we are all called to do. And repentance is one of those biblical or church words that we hear a lot, but we don't often define. So what does it mean to repent? To repent means to examine ourselves, to examine our hearts and our minds, and ask ourselves the question, are we living in alignment with the will of God? All of you, at one point or another, have had to take in your car, your tires, to get realigned. You see, over time, as you're driving along, your car may start to drift. A little bit to the left, a little bit to the right. The steering wheel is straight, but the car is not straight. It starts to drift a little to the right, a little to the left, and so you have to take your car in to get realigned. And the interesting thing about this process is, more often than not, it happens slowly. It's not like one day our car is in perfect alignment, and the next day it's totally out of whack. It happens so slowly sometimes that we may not even have realized it happens at all. Until a mechanic or someone else points us out, no, your car is drifting a little bit. You might want to get it checked and get it realigned. I bring that up because I think the same thing happens to our hearts and our minds. Through no intention or act of our own, we start to drift away from how God thinks and feels about things and about how the world thinks and feels about things. Our actions, our patterns, our attitudes, our belief system entirely is out of alignment with God. We may claim Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We may say that we are Christians, but we may not be acting very Christ-like. In our scripture reading today, John the Baptist points to a group of people known as the Pharisees and says that they are living out of alignment with God. That they claim the faith of Abraham. They say that they are followers of God, but he tells them to repent. Repent because the way you are living is not godly. The way that you are living is not in alignment with the Savior, the Messiah, the one who is coming. So repent. Examine yourselves and ask, does your heart need to be set in the right way? Martin Luther King Jr. knew this. He knew that he was charged with the task of combating the sin of racism. And he once wrote a paper in which he said these words. In spite of the prevailing tendency to conform, we as Christians have a mandate to be nonconformists. The Apostle Paul, who knew the inner realities of the Christian faith, counseled, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are called to be people of conviction, not conformity, of moral nobility, not social respectability. We are commanded to live differently and according to a higher loyalty. We are commanded to live differently and according to a higher loyalty. I mentioned before how I love the ideals of our country, how I love the ideals of the United States. But one thing that our founding fathers were keenly aware of is that our ideals do not come from us, what we think, what we want, what we believe, but our ideals come from God himself. The Declaration of Independence that I referred to opens with the words that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. That our Creator sets the laws, sets the tones, sets the rules. I mentioned before my admiration for the Pledge of Allegiance, but in that Pledge of Allegiance it says we are one nation under God. Yes, America is important. America is a beautiful thing, an idea, and country. But it only is so when we recognize that America is not the ultimate authority, but under God is the ultimate authority. I bring all this up because I think in many ways, we as a country, and sometimes as individuals, have lost where our true loyalty and allegiance lies. We have begun to find values and norms and attitudes not from God, not from the Bible, but from our culture, from politicians, from pundits, from radio and talk show hosts. We listen and absorb their words instead of absorbing the words of the gospel, the words of the scripture. We spend more time thinking about what a particular news channel says than what the Bible says. We spend more time listening to the radio or watching TV and not enough time reading our Bibles. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't stay informed. I'm not saying that we shouldn't watch the news and listen to current events. I think participating in civic society is the responsibility of every Christian, but it always comes second to God. And I think one of the things that has happened as a country and as individuals is we lost sight of that. And so as John the Baptist says, we have to repent. We have to pray that our nation repents from anger and violence and bitterness and division. And each of us, as individuals, need to examine our hearts and our minds and ask, are we living in a godly way or are we living in a worldly way? And there's a few ways we can sort of check our hearts. There's a few ways that we can sort of put our hearts back in alignment that I want to share with you today. The first is this, that when we see acts of violence, when we see senseless things like we saw on Wednesday, we have a choice that we can either get bitter or we can get better. Jesus encountered all sorts of obstacles. Jesus encountered all sorts of persecution, name-calling, rejection, anger. But Jesus always responded in love. Even when Jesus was on the cross, and Jesus looked down on the people who were persecuting him and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You may be filled with a sense of sadness. You may be filled with a sense of anger. And that is okay. God says that there is a time to weep. There's a time to be angry. But we are also not called to stay in anger. Because if we stay in anger, we become bitter. We become less and less like Jesus and more like the world. And so instead of getting bitter, we should get better. When there is an act of senselessness, when there's an act of hatred or violence, we should double down on our love. Jesus says, pray for those who persecute you. Jesus says, love your enemies, because he understands something that we all need to understand, that the antidote to hatred is not more hatred. The antidote to anger is not more anger, but more love. And so when you see something like you saw on Wednesday, or any time you see something terrible, commit yourself to love. Think about an act of kindness or generosity that you can do that you wouldn't have done. Jesus says that we are the light of the world. And light is not much good in a bright room. Light is most effective when it rubs against the darkness. And so when you rub up against the darkness, be the light of the world. Shine through that darkness. And your light will shine most powerfully when things around you are very dark. The second thing that we need to do is we need to work on practicing love and kindness to all people. I think too often in our culture today, people will size someone up. People will judge someone based on what political party they are part of. If you're a Republican and you find out someone's a Democrat, or you're a Democrat and you find out someone's a Republican, does that change your attitude about them? Does that change how you see them? Does that make you less likely to be friends with them, to be kind with them? If you are, you're doing Christianity wrong. Instead, we are called to see people not first and foremost as Republicans or Democrats or even Americans, but we are called first and foremost to see people as children of God. We are called to be united to one another through our Heavenly Father. When the Capitol building was having its dome put on, it was in the middle of the Civil War. And it was a very expensive endeavor. And obviously a lot of money was being spent on the Civil War. And many people believed that that this project should not take place, or at least be delayed for a while. But President Lincoln urged this project to continue. He urged this project to be continued because he believed it would be a symbol of our union. I like that idea, a symbol of our union. It's possible that we could look back on this period in our history as a time that, yes, we were deeply divided, but that perhaps it was the beginning of us being more united to one another, kinder to one another. Our country has seen difficult days. Our country has seen even worse times when we were enemies towards one another. This country has endured a civil war, and perhaps nobody knew that better than Abraham Lincoln. And when he became president, it was during the Civil War, and this is what he said: "We are not enemies, but friends. We must not be enemies. Though passion may have strained, it must not break the bonds of our affection." The bonds of our affection for one another must not be broken. Our affection for one another must not be destroyed, but it must grow stronger now. We must continue to love one another. We must continue to treat one another as children of God, not because it's always easy, not because people always deserve it, but because God loved us first when we didn't deserve it. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but transform your mind. Align your heart with the gospel, with the scriptures, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help heal our nation, which is so often too divided. We ask that our nation would be healed through your Holy Spirit, that we would come together not first and foremost as people with different political differences, but we would come together first and foremost through the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ. May we live closer and closer to his will, and may we treat others the way he has treated us. In his holy name we pray. Amen.